Hello, and welcome to Crafty Hands Club Magazine Podcast. I'm your host, Carice Jefferson. This podcast is for crafters of all ages and walks of life who love connecting with other crafters, making crafts a lifestyle, or ready to turn their crafts into a profitable side business. Tune in weekly for honest conversations and interviews about industry news, trends, lifestyle, and business. Hello, craft cuties. Welcome to this week's episode of Crafty Hands Club Magazine Podcast. In the meantime, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Our handle, Crafty Hands Club Mag, all lowercase. Also, take a screenshot of today's episode that you're listening to and share it and tag CHC Podcast. Today, I am going to talk about vending at vendor shows, but on a deeper scale, I'm going to go in depth of signs that you are a vendor at the wrong event. And the reason for this podcast is because restrictions have been lifted and more events are going to be happening. And you've been doing things virtually for a while, so you'll be happy to get some face-to-face interaction and display your table and, you know, just a chance to go out there and meet people. And vending at vending shows is not a bad thing. Actually, there's a lot of good things that come with it. Number one, you get to meet people. Not only do you get to meet people, you get a chance to learn what works for you and your business, what doesn't work for you and your business, what are better ways to position your table to make your products sell. Also, you'll learn how to better position and pitch your business as you're talking to attendees and they have questions for you. So there's a lot of upsides to vending at vendor shows. Now, there are some downsides to it as well. Participating in vendor shows, it takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of time to prepare, to plan. You don't just show up with your stuff and put it on the table and that's it. It's a strategy. And before you even pay your vendor fee, whether it's $25, $50, $75, $150, or a couple hundred dollars, you definitely want to ask questions to the meeting host early as possible, because that gives you a screenshot as to what you'll be participating in and how things will go. So the first telltale sign that you are vending at the wrong event is when the meeting host has little to no skin in the game. Now, the host, they're responsible for renting the place and so forth and providing the certificates of insurance if they're asked to and so forth. So there's a little risk that they are taking. But in terms of skin in the game, here's what I'm talking about. You have some vendor events that takes care of the vendors that are there, and you have some that don't. Honestly, you have some meeting hosts that do not even show up at the event. So anything could go wrong. Can't get in the building. There's no proper heating or air conditioning in the facility. The setup isn't done. Water leakage, but because the meeting host isn't there, you can't go to him or her. But In terms, but back to what I was saying about little to no skin in the game. Okay, let's say you're vending somewhere and you're going to be there for between 4 to 6 hours. And the only place for you to get food is the location is on site. So where you're vending at, there may be a cafe or some coffee shop or a restaurant. Well, the first thing that I would think in that situation is, okay, this meeting host might have worked out some type of deal with the restaurant or cafe or coffee shop. Say, hey, if you get so many people or this dollar amount in sales, we can let you have the space for X amount of dollars. And then if the meeting host has been using that same venue place for a long time, 9 times out of 10, they're not paying that much money to rent it. So if there's 60 to 70 vendors, and let's say the average cost for a table is like $40, well, 70 and 40 is 2,800. And let's say at the most, she has paid maybe $700 or $800. The rest of that is pure profit. The rest of that is profit. Another sign, if you are vending somewhere and they do not accommodate you in terms of dropping off, you're going to have a lot of stuff for your setup and takedown. If there's not a loading dock, if it's not a door that you can go into where you can park and transport your items, and the only way that you can do so, you have to park in a parking lot that you have to pay for, or it's metered parking along the street, that's a bad deal because a lot of meeting halls don't cover parking, but if they did cover that for the vendors, that could give them recommendations for more for other vendors because they don't know everybody. They don't know who the vendors know. That would keep them in good standing, and it would have repeat vendors as well. Another telltale sign underneath that category is, okay, they may tell you your business is going to be promoted, and there's only one or two social media posts that mentions you and your business. That's not a good deal because they didn't take out an ad for advertisement. They didn't go to a local podcast or radio show or TV show. It's not hard to get on those platforms, by the way. But if they don't think to go where they could get this in the front of people and have products, or there's one person that had an event, and what I really liked about her, she wasn't just sitting on TV to talk about her and her event. She had performers, she had a couple of vendors, she had a couple of people that were helping her as well on the event to showcase and highlight. So if they're not doing anything like that, that's a losing deal. Number two, if it's an event where they tell you this event, you're going to be vending for 5 or 6 hours. Now, that's 5 or 6 hours at the actual event. That doesn't include your commute time to and from. That doesn't include your setup and takedown time. But back to the core, the 5 to 6 hours, what that communicates is, in order for me to break even at this event, I got the van at least 5 to 6 hours. That's not a good deal. Most of your day is gone and nothing is guaranteed. And that's another thing with vendor shows. It's always a 50-50 dice roll, but some shows, it's just obvious that this doesn't benefit you at all. So that's something you want to consider. And then if you're at a show let's say it's a women's conference or it's like some type of big event in the town, city that you live in, and they give you an hour or 2 hour slot with your table to vent, it may cost you $400 or $500. That's not a good deal because you only got 1 to 2 hours to try to recover at least the table fee, but you're still gonna take a loss because that $500 that you may get back, that doesn't cover all of the other associated costs. And plus, that solely just benefits the event planner as an additional revenue. Okay, number three. This is how you know you are vending at a bad event. When there's too many vendors selling the same thing. Oh my gosh, I cannot tell you how many times that I have vended at an event and somewhere between 60 to 70% of vendors sold the same thing. May not be the exact same product, but the same craft type. So before Crafty Hands Club became a magazine digital platform, it was all about jewelry making. So I would be at these shows and I would sell kits, and I will already have pre-made jewelry for people that are not into making their own. Well, one event, almost every table sold handmade jewelry. So as an attendee, they're going to be confused. They don't know who to buy from. And then at that point, you as a vendor, you're going to get desperate. You're going to say, okay, buy one, get one, or name your price. If you buy this, I'll give you this. Everything in this basket is this price point. I'm sure you've been at events and you have seen vendors do that. That's what you fall into when it's just oversaturated. Okay, number three. When your booth or your table is in a bad spot. Now, I'm not talking about you in the area where it's like five or six other tables. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about if your table is behind the stage, near the restroom, near the speakers, over to a corner, you are in a bad position. You're not going, you know, most of the time people are going to just walk past. And then if they see you, they're just going to walk past, get into the bathroom or get into somewhere else. So the placement of your table or booth is important. And that's a question that you definitely want to ask your meeting host when you agree to be a vendor. And if the vendor, if the meeting host cannot tell you, at least ask to see the setup of the place. Number four, location, 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 location. I'm sure you heard that, you know, in terms of business, it's all about location, but bad location is a killer. And what I mean by bad location, I'm not talking about a neighborhood that is known to be bad. I'm talking about if you're vending at an event that's in a residential building. And here's why that is bad. Number one, the only foot traffic you're going to get are from the people that are in the building. But you also have to remember that these people live there. So they know the parameters of the building. They can stay in their unit all day and not come out. They could go in and out another area of the building so that they don't even have to pay attention to your table, or they just walk past you or come and look but not buy anything. And then there's no outside foot traffic. Another example of a bad location is, let's say You're vending at an event that's near a main street, but not on the main street. And it may be 3 or 4 blocks away, tucked somewhere where the only way a person could get there is if they drive a car. Well, that's not a good proposition because you want to be able to get people that are walking, people who take the bus or the train, Lyft, Uber. You want to attract people for multiple forms of transportation. And then if it's not no foot traffic, I don't care how nice the neighborhood is. I don't care how well thought out or planned the event was. I don't care how prepared you are. You're not going to get any sales because it's no foot traffic. And then if the location is not near establishments where you could possibly get new people to come to the event. I'm talking, it's not near a McDonald's or a Starbucks, a bank, a CVS pharmacy, a Walgreens, a grocery store, something where it's in and out movement. And while people are out shopping or, taking care of business, they may say, hey, let me stop in here for a few minutes and see what this is all about. Number five. And this one, I feel a little bad to say this, but I do have to say it. If the event is at a church, here is why that can potentially be a nightmare. I have nothing against church. I'm a Christian, love God. But from a vending perspective, it may not work. And here's why. Most of the time, people who attend church have, they pick and choose who and what they buy, who they buy from, what they buy, so forth. If you are out in the general area with your vending table, and people are attending service. 9 times out of 10, they're gonna walk past your table, getting into service. And then when service is out, they walk past your table to get to their car. Then, if the church is located somewhere, again, away from a main street, not near anything, there's no additional foot traffic. There was one church that was having a craft event. And at the time, I was interested in vending. But when I crunched the numbers, my real cost was somewhere between $600 to $700. Then my next question was, who's there that I can potentially get a sale from? I couldn't come up with five people. And because I couldn't come up with five people, I didn't van at that event. And then I started thinking about, this church is the only one that stands to gain because the people that work there, that's their regular time. People that are not on the payroll are volunteers. Then I'm going to be out of somewhere between 8 to 11 hours of my time because it was on 2 days. So I couldn't just pick one day to be a vendor. So I'm out of time, I'm out of money, I'm out of energy, I'm out of resources, I'm out of gas. And there's no way for me to recover that cost. Money is not everything, but when you're vending at events, you do want to be profitable. Unless you just choose to vend at an event where you're trying to reach a new audience and you're already established and you could take the loss. But that's not the case when you're just starting out or when your business is in a growth phase. You can't afford that. So number six. If it's a first-time event, like a lot of events you see, whether it's on Eventbrite or social media or on websites or wherever, a lot of those events are first-time events. haven't been done before, haven't heard of them before. And it's okay to try things out, but nothing's been tested, nothing's been proven, there's no demographic data, nothing to help you make a decision whether or not this is even for you to vend at. And I understand meeting hosts have to get their feet wet, have to get their start somewhere. But from a business perspective, you don't want them learning at the expense of your time, effort, and money. So that's another bad sign. The seventh telltale sign that you're vending at a wrong event is when you have a vendor table and you pay your vendor fee, and then they ask you to give a donation. Now, it's okay to donate to charitable organizations. I don't mind giving, but that has its time and place. And honestly, if I have paid for a vendor table and I have came the distance and I'm setting up and all of that, I have done my part. So it's not like I have a vendor table for free. So beware of events where people ask you for a donation, and you'll see that with schools. You'll see that with charitable organizations like Salvation Army or the YMCA, places like that. So be very careful. Last but not least, how you know you're vending at the wrong event is when you have questions that are essential to your decision making, but they go unanswered. In other words, the meeting host don't know. Now I can see if this is a first event. Okay, you wouldn't know. But if you have been doing this for 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, you should have some type of information. And I'm talking basic, like what's the demographic of the attendees? Like, is it a certain age group? Is it an income level? Is it an education level? What do they mostly buy at your events? Have you done surveys and gotten feedback from the attendees as well as the vendors? What have vendors' experiences been? Who at this event that I can connect with? Like, hi, my name is, this is what I sell, this is who I help, this is what I do. And the purpose of me participating in your event is I would like to connect with other vendors. Who has been a vendor that you've known that does something similar or that I should speak to? If you've been doing these events for a while, you should be able to give that kind of information. And if you can't give that kind of information, that's not going to be a good event for you to be a vendor of. So those are just some things that I just wanted to do this podcast on because I don't want to see people be taken advantage of. Craft business is already a challenge because a lot of the crafts are oversaturated. There's all sorts of competition from Dollar Tree to the big box stores to people on Etsy, Ravelry, people who blog and do podcasts and sell things. So that's already a challenge within itself. And then to look forward to participating in the event when all along it's set up to just totally take advantage of you. And that's one of the things that I really am passionate about is to help crafters be profitable with what they're selling and to make the numbers work for them. So if you enjoyed today's episode, go ahead and share on social media. Don't forget to tag Crafty Hands Club Mag using hashtag CHC podcast as you take a screenshot of today's episode and share it across your social media platforms. Well, that is all for today. Thank you for tuning in. Come back next week. Take care.